Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Shouldn't be alive here on the Glass Cannon Network. Your home for good friends getting together, hanging out, playing RPGs, all different kinds of tabletop RPGs, all different kinds of games. But today we are focused, locked in, aiming down sight on Twilight 2000. A fantastic game for fourth edition we're playing from Free League, a game that Skid played back in the day. Never get to play it? Or you did play it a little bit when you were a kid in the 80s?
No, I don't think we ever did play. We did play the computer game that came out a couple of years later. Mm. But I don't think we ever did sit down and play a session of Twilight 2000.
Well, I'm glad we can do it for you now, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm your host and referee, Joe O'Brien. Also, in addition to Skid, we've got Jared here, Mary Lou, and Ross. Hi. Bryant,
what's up?
Pleasure to see everybody. Jared, you look stupid. What's going on, man? You had dumb face.
I am stupid.
I'm sorry, Joe. I don't know what you expected. We're all a bunch of dumb ding dongs and numb nuts.
Ding-a-lings.
Serve up ding dongs and ding dongs.
Is it something with your glasses, Jared?
Yeah, that makes me look smart, dude.
I think he's, head was thrown back, mouth a little bit open.
I'm using the chat again.
Yeah, he sure did.
This bit continues for another week, I see. Mary Lou, why don't you read off the chat, Jared's most recent post?
Jared said, there's something poop hole?
There's something in my poop hole.
That's not what
it
said.
The in.
You I just wrote there's that. Something poop hole.
That's all you see.
There's something poop hole.
This is
stupid.
Why we're questioning
your mental acuity right now.
I really am pretty stupid.
I guess I thought of you as a smart guy, but I'm looking at this thing you wrote.
No.
And I don't know.
Swaths of knowledge that I have zero, like absolutely nil.
I know thing. I know one thing you don't know, which is what's in your poop hole, buddy. It's something.
There's
you
something
don't know
poop
what it
hole.
Is.
What there's something poop hole.
What's in there?
Something
you okay?
Poop hole.
Yeah, I feel the same way, Jared. I feel like a big dumb ding dong most of the time. I feel like I'm sort of a dumb guy in smart guy drag. All smoke and mirrors. I'm really a brainless bozo.
That's funny because I feel super smart when I'm around anybody but you guys. Around you guys, I feel real dumb.
I've made it a point through most of my life, I feel like, to just sort of, not that it's a choice, but just your life kind of evolves that way. I've surrounded myself by enough, like, just really intelligent people that I kind of feel stupid all the time. I enjoy being around intelligent people, but it is a little rough on the self-esteem.
Well, I speak as a know-it-all. My wife and I have identified a habit of mine that I'm trying to break, which is she will ask me a question I don't know the answer to, but I will answer anyway.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah,
instead of saying, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't, that's the I don't know if they perfectly fine answer.
Yeah, I unfortunately learned very young that if I say something confidently, that is like good enough for most people.
Yeah.
It works for politicians.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Two big phrases that really have like marked a real turning point in my level of maturity. I don't know, and I was wrong.
Yeah.
And there's something poophole.
And there's something
cool. There's something poophole.
Really, the capstone of that change.
Completes the circle. Now you're an adult.
Yeah.
It's really important to know when something poophole.
I know. A lot of us refuse to recognize when there's something poophole.
When there's something poophole,
to the point in your life, you're not afraid to, be that at perspective.
Yeah. It's a mark of maturity to know.
When your wife has no question you don't know the answer to, you should respond. There's something poophole. Kind of a panicking voice.
Yeah, there's something poophole.
Guys.
There's something poophole. All right. Well, we ask the tough questions here. We are going to take these hijinks back into our Twilight 2000 campaign as we embark on episode 6 here in a minute. So hang on. We're going to take a quick break and then brief recap and then back into the action.
Yeah. It's really quite a serious game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As you can tell, there's something in poop hole.
Yes.
No, close.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search realms of peril and glory to find out more.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
Welcome back. Don't forget, go to jointhenation.com for access to tons of exclusive content and go to glasscannonnetwork.com for all access to all of our shows, at least information about all of our shows where you can find all the different stuff that we do. This is but one game that we play, but I'm telling you, it is one game that I love. And it's going so fast. We're already getting into the sixth episode here. Yeah. This is wild. Who wants to recount the events of last week? Anybody want to hop on that?
I'll take a swing. I feel like
there we go. Mr. Bryant.
JFD took a rather passive part, although he did so he observed much, saw much.
Yeah.
We were in Zofia's truck going down the road, the highway, and came upon a awesome randomly selected encounter.
Yes!
Yes, we turned the bend and saw a Soviet-made truck with its hood up, steam coming from under the hood, and a Polish civilian waving us down, not letting us pass by, saying something was wrong. After some paranoid investigations of the truck, we found that there was a passenger who was a little bit more hard-edged than the civilian who flagged us down. This turned out to be a Soviet soldier in plain clothes. And as we sort of assessed the situation, suddenly a bunch of Soviet soldiers came spilling out of the back of this truck, and we had a sort of Polish standoff there on the side of the road.
So to speak, yeah.
Guns pointed every which way, and it took some level heads and persuasive speech to get everyone to put their guns down and do a little roadside bartering. Zofia could use her mechanic skills to repair their truck in exchange for some rations. We did all this. Folks who wandered around the truck saw that there were some other civilians inside, some children, and a very sick soldier. This was not told to the soft-hearted JF Dade, who might have attempted.
That's right. Information withheld from the doctor.
Yeah, who might have been a helper in that moment. Some more ruthless heads prevailed, and
I think we might have talked about it in. I'm not sure if we. Yeah, we talked about it in our bonus content. You remember, there's a bonus app for every app where we talk back over the session and look at XP and stuff. Mary Lou stole an experience point from Ross.
That's
basically what happened.
Yeah, it took away an opportunity.
Out from under him, because if you got to do that medical aid, that would fit right in line with your, your big dream.
My big dream.
I think if you stop someone else from getting an XP, you should get an XP.
You get an XP.
Wait, zero sum XP. We can afford it.
I like that rule.
Swiped his XP.
Oh, yeah. Great. I'm going to be trying to stop you from freeing Poland at every turn now.
Start
working for the Soviets.
JF Dade is going to try to subjugate the people of Poland.
No. Real turncoat.
Zofia is going to help Dade get another XP point because this episode, there's going to be something in poop hole. And so he can.
Yes.
Yeah, and he can help. That's got to be a medical role.
All of my training has led to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. To find out what to do when something in poop hole. When
there's something poop hole.
But something was in the fundament of these Soviets, because they were not going off to participate in any military missions, but it came out that they were deserters. And these Poles were kind of working with them as couriers, taking them out of the country into the Ukraine. And so we patched up their vehicle and sent them on their way. Society and the military apparatus, it seems, is crumbling and tottering on all sides. Loyalties are gray, and we continued away into the next hex, and finally arrived at Zamosh. And have come upon the exit into the city barricaded with a burned out tank, cars, and a banner in Polish reading "Free Poland." Is this now a solidarity stronghold? Who knows? That's above JF Dade's pay grade and foreign language literacy. He continues to look at this tableau from the back of the truck, and that's where we left our heroes.
That's where we left our heroes, with the exit off of the highway that goes directly to Zamosh being barricaded, cut off with a makeshift banner spray painted on the side of it that says "Free Poland." So in Polish, obviously, not in English. It says it in Polish, and then underneath we see the translation in the lower third. So, I'm going to pick it up from there. I want to get right into the car with your characters, and I'm not going to say anything else for right now. Sometimes you need more descriptions of what's going on around there, so ask me the questions that you need to ask. But suffice to say, what I will say to simplify things a great deal is there's no way for your car to get through. So we'll start there. That's sort of the first vibe you get. It's like, where the hell are we going to go? But if you continue on the highway, you can continue on the highway. You just can't go to Zamosht. So I leave it there and I'll let you guys kick it off.
I do at some point want to talk through the information that's on this map, the intel.
Yes.
Because we never really talked about it.
Yeah. And hours have passed since the last encounter. So obviously sometimes we just kind of like jump forward to get to a good cliffhanger. If you want to go kind of like back in time a little bit, that's fine by me, and sort of have a conversation maybe from the outer cab into, because remember, we got a pickup truck here with Zofia driving, Hannah in the passenger seat, and the two NATO soldiers in the flatbed in the back. But you guys could speak to each other.
And, we don't need a retcon. We can just pull up here near the barricade and stop to have a discussion, right?
That sounds good to me.
So,
yeah, you guys talk me through it, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I think that I would like to do that and absolutely get out the map and talk about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hannah will say, look, we have intel on Soviet positions. We have to give this to the resistance. We have to go into Zamosht.
Can we look at the map, Joe?
The big map. Yes, absolutely. You should be on the map on Foundry.
Oh, that's what I'm on, yeah.
Yep. And that is the map that you have. And as far as the Soviet positions go, you guys tell me what you can see, what kind of details you can see. What does it look like to you? Describe it to the listening audience. We'll also show this on screen for the video audience.
So
I can see, yeah, I can see these sort of red diamonds over Krasnik, Lublin, and Pulava. And they have, Pulava and Krasnik have two X's, and Lublin has four X's over it, and it's bigger.
If you double click on it, do you get any more information?
No.
Okay, so all you see are the images. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just tell you a few things.
I know some of this.
Okay, ooh, great.
Tell us, Gilly.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So, and he's, I believe this is right. So he's looking at the map and he's pointing this out. It's just like, so here in Krasnik, this is the 27th Guard. This is a motorized rifle brigade. This is formed of multiple companies. And you look at the Puavi. Yeah, this is 79th Guard. This is armor division. You can see from the oval symbol there that it's a tank division. And here in Lublin, there, this is the 8th Guard. This is an army. This is interesting. This designation goes all the way back to World War II. Mm-hmm. And actually, all of these, like,
do you mean those symbols with the oval and the X?
Yeah, that means it's a motorized. That symbol, the oval means it's the motorized.
Tracks.
The X is a, yeah, it symbolizes the tracks, and then the X is a rifled an infantry division.
Cool.
So and yeah, four X's. That is a full army. And it goes all the way back to World War II, and they have the guard designation, like all of them. They because of I know with the 8th Army, it's because of their actions in Stalingrad. They like earned this like sort of special designation as the guard because they're elite.
Cool.
So yeah. So this is here. This is where our deserters were fleeing from. So they seem to be bleeding troops, but if they're maintaining any cohesion, there should still be quite a lot of them left. So that's what I see.
If they're bleeding troops, they're weak. They're hurting. We can go there, cause some trouble.
This, Hannah, this is a full army. We are four people. I do not think that we can make much of a difference there.
Four people can do a lot of damage. They're occupying the city. They're not looking for four people. We could steal supplies. We could pick people off. This is what I do. This is what I have done for years. A small group can do a lot of damage.
I want to give you guys a little bit. This is a great conversation, but I want to give, there's more info on this map than just the symbols. There's notations, not that you can see, I'm telling you, your characters, as they look at this map, there are notations that let you know, for example, you identify this. I mean, this would be great for Major Lime to see this.
Yeah.
You can identify that the 8th Guard is a, you know, a combined arms army, is a full army.
Yeah.
And you can tell from the basic writing on the map that their numbers are staggeringly low. Like, like less than 30% of the size of their, of that, what that army should be. It's still thousands of soldiers. Yeah. Let's not be mistaken. But
because full strength, it's like 10, 12,000.
Exactly. You're talking soldiers, 10, 12,000. It is in the single digit thousands, right?
Yeah.
And you notice that their combat vehicles, because they are a motorized division, their combat vehicles, it's notated, are nearly obliterated. They have almost none. I'll give one more piece of information. You also think, looking at this setup right here, first of all, the polls can weigh in that Lublin, I said this last week, but just reiterating, you guys know this without question, and I would think that both Dade and Lime know this from being in country for any time. Lublin is the largest city of this entire region of Poland. It is a very large city. Not as large as Warsaw, not as large as Krakow, but it's big. The biggest one in this region. It stands to reason that this, that the 8th Guards are the primary army in this region of Poland. And it stands to further reason, if you look at the placements just from military tactical knowledge, that the 79th Guards in Puławy, I don't know how to pronounce it yet, I'll get to that, Puława, and the 27th Guards in Krasnik are clearly forward defense positions for the 8th Army, because they are near where NATO probably is, to the west.
Yeah.
And as you can see, they are covering bridges and crossroads that lead to Lublin.
Mm-hmm. If you're
so
saying
tactically
that,
speaking, they're probably all in communication with each other, with the 79th Guard and the 27th Guard protecting the 8th Guard in Lublin by cutting off the routes to the city. But you guys are behind them.
Right.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
So what you're saying is, and he's kind of pointing his finger across that river, kind of in the center there by Pulau and Krasnik. So NATO forces would be over there? American forces?
Yes, probably on the other side of the river, I should imagine. Possibly.
I mean, where do you think this fellow Carpenter is?
Well, I have a suspicion that he may be being held captive at Bugorai. Ugorai.
Well, I mean... Well, it sounds like the course is clear. We do what we need to do here. We go on to Bilgarai, we find your man, and then we try to reconnect with NATO forces to the west.
Yes. Yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah, but if there is resistance in Zamosht, then we take them this info. Maybe they have more info for us, so we don't go into Bilgarai blind.
Right. I mean, especially if your resistance fighters have the place sewn up. They've made it a fortified town.
It will take so much gas and time to get into Zamość. Look at the road. It is almost gone. These people in Zamość, God bless them, they are strong. They kick out the Soviet, they will not know any more about the Soviet than we do.
Zofia, they will know. They might know. It's a chance. We hide truck, and we walk in.
I think we should just go. It's just more trouble.
British, what do you think?
Yeah, Lime is sort of torn because, I mean, he really needs to find Carpenter. But winning the war is the ultimate objective. And so, yeah, it's true. Like, sharing Soviet intel with Polish resistance could make a big difference. And yeah, and the possibility of getting any more information about what's going on in Byugorai, anything that would point them in the right direction other than that, I think that might be worth it. So yeah, so he sort of folds up the map and he says, like, yes, well, with all respect, I think it would possibly be worth risk to contact any resistance here in Zamost. Yeah. Not to mention, This is, as I've heard it, the city referred to as the Padua of Central Europe. I've always been curious to see it.
I don't understand what he's
what
saying.
What is Padua?
Well, allow me to read to you from Italy. The Lonely Planet from 1996.
Oh, you got it. I was going to read it.
Okay,
you son of a bitch.
No, you but can it is, read it, but like, you can read it, but the, not until we get there. If you're going to go, you got to go there to talk about it. You're not allowed to talk about it. Unless
you go. Right. But he has like it's a famous like for its architecture and everything. Like he's always wanted to see it, so he's curious at least. So it's a little side quest.
All right, Zofia will do it, but she makes her opinions known.
I never been to Padua or nothing, but you know. I understand if that's what you think is best, Major Lon, then that's what we'll do.
Well, we shall take it upon ourselves to expand your horizon state as best we can.
So are we talking about leaving the truck, hiding it, and going in on foot to the town?
Yeah, if there's a place, if we can
you
safely
can, you can attempt
think we can
to
safely
hide the
hide
truck.
It.
It's yeah. It's a die roll.
That would involve leaving a lot of supplies as well.
It would.
You could also take some supplies with you. Hike it
we
in.
We should take some supplies to trade.
Yeah.
Mm.
To give to the resistance.
Mm.
Well.
I love Lime. Well.
We are resisting the Soviet boot as well. We need our
We'll
own
find
supplies.
More.
We got information to offer. You know, maybe... Maybe we come out with a few more supplies than we come with.
So we hide truck, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I think hiding the truck is probably a good idea.
So this is a moment where I have... Dade has this tech specialty builder, and it was specific... Or a stamina specialty builder, and it's specific to building shelters, I think, is how the
building a base.
Building a base. Could I bargain this to be an example of like hiding this truck in cover is like a rudimentary form of this type of base?
Yep, like, that sounds right. Sounds like 12-sided dice.
I buy it.
Well, I'll say I believe if you want to call it by the book, it's a recon roll to hide the truck.
Okay.
I'm fine with a stamina roll for base. You just want a base building to use that skill to craft a structure that hides the car and protects it.
Right.
I would just, as a group, I'd say, you know, do whatever is the best die roll. You know, but you're all aiding, so you're going to get +3 to whatever the roll is.
It
so keep
still
that in
sounds
mind.
Like it might be, it still might be Zofia's
my recon.
Recon.
Because I have an A and a B.
Oh, yeah, that's, I, yeah, that would be a B and a B with my specialty, so that would still be better, Zofia.
Yeah, I think it's probably more like, you know, we're going to find ways that you need to create shelter, right? Especially when we get into like weather and stuff.
Right.
That could be interesting.
And we're going to find ways for me to play the violin and go boating.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Especially when we're the Padua.
You just gotta force it in there.
Ooh, I hope the resistance is ready for a concert.
So what's my modifier then? +2 because everybody's aiding me?
+3.
Ooh. Oh. Love that. Ooh,
baby.
You get +1 for each player aiding you.
Thank God. I got one success because I rolled one.
So you were able to find enough of a, enough foliage and stuff off the side of the road. You drive the car down off the highway into some rough terrain. But you feel like you have sufficiently covered it. Now, talk to me about supplies. I don't need to ticky-tack do every single thing, and we can also just say you have things later. I don't need you to do it all right now, but yeah, screw it. I don't need you to do it right now. You can say you have what you need as long as it was within your carry capacity. You could say you have it if you need it later. I don't want to take time doing that right now because I just don't think it's terribly relevant. Are you taking a backpack of supplies is the question at all?
I think we should, because we might stay for a little bit.
Hannah has a backpack on. Dade has a backpack on.
Hannah has a backpack.
Okay, what about Zofia? Are you taking a backpack?
Zofia, I do not have a backpack. That was not in my gear given to me. And I know it would make a lot of sense, I think. I don't think that Zofia and Hannah would have run off. Not that they ran off, but, left. Without taking a backpack each, but it is not what I
understand. I understand that, but backpack is on those starting gear lists for some people, and some people it's not.
Yeah,
and
let me make sure.
I kind of feel and we can always backwrite this story. Maybe wherever you left in a hurry.
In a hurry.
We've never told this story, so it's possible that happened. And it's also, I think it's very interesting. I think you make a note for yourself. Maybe a little dream. Get a backpack.
Get a backpack. So yeah, this could be through
trade or through scrounging.
I also do not have a backpack.
There you go.
I was mistaken.
You got to get one. Maybe it's something you can trade for or something you can scrounge for. Okay. So the two soldiers have backpacks.
Got it.
So whatever you guys can carry in those backpacks, we can retcon them sort of Blades in the Dark style. Look at your gear list. You can pull this many things out of it as you need it, but then you're going to run out of things eventually if you need a bunch of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Understood.
Zamosch is a decent distance off of this highway exit. And you guys begin walking. Are you walking the road, or are you walking the sort of wooded areas off-road to stay more hidden? You can stay more hidden, or you can walk an easy road but stay more exposed. It's very quiet. You don't hear anything.
I think we can expose ourselves because we're, in league with the resistance.
I agree.
Yeah, we're trying to make contact. Stay. We're not.
Yeah. So if we find some sentries, good.
Yeah, I don't think we want to be seen as being sneaky, right?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, you begin walking this road, and you're walking it for maybe 20 or 30 minutes, walking along this road, and you're hearing sort of the general sounds of wildlife now and then, cropping up, and then very suddenly and out of nowhere, you are set upon incredibly quickly and with no warning by a pack of wolves that run out of the forest. These scrawny animals dart out of the tree lines onto the road. And we're going to pull some initiative cards.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
A wolf pack?
Yeah.
Wolf pack, baby!
Oh, my God.
Yes, the children of the night.
Do any of the wolves have a backpack?
Yeah. I hope they do.
Oh, my God.
You can fashion one out of wolf skin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This is truly random, so again, I don't have a map, but I'm going to make it super quick. It's going to be awesome, and we'll get this thing going. So, all right, why don't you guys, I want you to talk to me just Talking character, as you're walking down this street right before we have this thing happen, what are you expecting to be going on here exactly? And how do you plan to address some sort of Polish resistance if, you know, if that's what's happening, especially with the, you know, armed NATO soldiers that you have in tow? What is your what's your plan for that?
I expect they will be bad off, you know, maybe lacking food, lacking water. Hopefully not. But someone fought back here. So they have weapons, and they have leaders. And those people may have intelligence. They may even have fighters that will want to go with us to Bilgerai.
Do either of you have any contacts within Polish resistance? Anyone we could reference?
Someone they may be familiar with? I am resistance.
You are resistance, yeah. And you know, you know, yeah, figures within the resistance. They might be able to vouch for you.
Yes.
Good.
They may know me.
Yeah, because Lime is still thinking in terms of human assets, and that's, we were talking, I think, in the extra content or something about,
yeah,
that must be how he's seeing really all three of you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. With his history, his military history, so yeah, so it's just like that's a valuable thing right now.
Hannah is expecting to be like, Igor, you old son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Have you been keeping yourself?
Yeah.
You bitch.
No, she has the common touch.
Yeah. That's right.
Nice.
Yeah, she knows people.
Bitch. Yeah.
You
bitch. You. Yeah, and I mean, if I mean, the armor division was pressing in, I got separated. I mean, if this is a stronghold of Polish resistance, there might be some Polish army here too. There might be some NATO here too, if they got broken off of their detachments as well.
Yes, it's quite unpredictable what we might be able to find here. Actually, can I use my historian specialty to roll to see if I know anything that happened here, like, recently?
I'll save you the roll. You don't know. Okay. Because what happened here is very, very recent.
Very recent.
Okay. And when you were kind of out of touch. And so, yeah. But we will, should we survive this part, as we get closer, we will definitely get out your historian thing, and we'll get out the book, and we'll talk about Zamosh, because awesome. It's very cool. So, okay. Let's get down to business.
Oh my God, the wolf pack.
Wolfpack. Oh no, they go first.
No. They jumped out of you.
Yeah, because we're scared because a wolf pack just ran out of the forest and attacked us.
Yeah.
You guys were just chatting, and you can see they're drawn and sickly looking, and charging out, rabid. Something strange. I mean, obviously, lots of strange is happening here. That sounds stupid, but you know what I mean. Very, very dangerous situation. And let it begin with wolves. Okay. So wolves begin charging, and one. Oh, my God. I moved everybody. Boop. Oh, my God. How do I undo that? That's annoying. All right. Sorry. I had a
wait,
bunch
do
of
you guys
selected.
See? Do you guys see the map? I only see the hex map.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I always forget that part. There we go.
Okay.
Ah.
Ha!
There we go.
Ha.
You're all on it. And we are underway. Sorry. Just making sure I have the right thing. And here we go. The wolves charge!
Oh.
One runs up, darts up to Hannah, and leaps at you. I'm rolling a close combat attack here along with a hit die to check the location of where this thing jumps and bites. I got a success, and I'm very sad to say I got a success on the arm. Now, are you unarmored? Do you wear armor? Do you remember, Jared, as paramilitary? Do you have a flak jacket?
I don't think that I do.
Let's see.
No, I have no armor.
You have no armor. Okay, so then it didn't really matter that it got the arm, but it jumps up, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this thing jumps at you and gets your arm. You immediately take... I rolled a success. You take 1 point of damage, HP damage.
Great.
Another one runs out, and this one is charging at Lime.
No.
And it leaps at you, and and I rolled a chest hit, and you have armor, right?
I do.
And I also happen to roll no successes, but it sort of leaps at you and scratches at your flak jacket, and it's right up on you. The other two are a little bit farther behind, and they're beginning this charge right behind their allies toward you guys on the road. But only two have gotten close enough to be right up next to you right now. And we move to the second in the combat order, and that is Major Duncan Lime, who drew a six.
Okay, so Lime, I think he's going to draw his pistol. He's going to draw his six sour pistol. And I want to use full rate of fire on that. So go two rate of fire.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
Give yourself the penalty for not aiming. So that's minus two.
That's minus.
Because it's very hectic. Pulled it out. Just bang, bang, bang.
I think it's minus. Oh, okay. Actually, all right. So it would actually be a net minus one because of my pistol specialty.
Oh, so gotcha. Okay, yeah. Perfect.
Okay.
So net minus one.
Yeah. So.
And just shooting at the wolf that just tried to bite at you.
Okay.
No successes.
I'm going to push the roll.
Yeah, but no, you can push everything.
Okay. So I got two successes and an extra hit.
Two successes and an extra hit. I mean, nice. Just amazing. Awesome. Push. And no... And no natural ones, right? So no. Hit point damage. I mean, amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So I'm just going to spread the damage around. I'm going to use my three successes as three separate hits in this hex. So
The pistol does how much damage?
The pistol, it does one damage. I don't know if that's enough to...
Okay, one damage. Okay, so that means for every success, you have one damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you must do one against the wolf right next to you, and then you could spread it to the other wolves, because they are all in the same hex. They're all close to each other.
Okay, actually, okay.
Or you could put all three into the one next to you.
I'm going to put two hits into the one in front of me.
Okay.
And then, just to make sure that it goes down, and then I'm going to put one more on the one that's on Hannah.
All right, I'm just going to let you know, like, tactically and number-wise, it has three hit capacities, so you need to do all three to it to put it down. Otherwise, it'll still be
up. Then I'll push them all into this one in front of me.
Okay, boom, incapacitated. This thing yelps as you bang, 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 bang. And, man, you fired a bunch of shots.
12 rounds.
Well, yeah. No, 7 rounds, right? 7 rounds.
12.
No, 12 rounds. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Amazing. So, bang, 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 bang. Unloading your pistol, and it's enough to kill the wolf right in front of you. Amazing. And then we move on to JF Dade. It's your turn.
Good God. Oh, my God.
Bizarrely stressful situation out of nowhere.
Yeah. You might have been the only one who's, like, seen a wolf before.
Oh, yeah. I've seen
Yeah.
No, I seen wolves out in the hollers, and I mean, the guns are going off, the wolves are charging. I will take a shot at these wolves off in the distance, kind of swinging around behind, like as Lime empties his pistol into the wolf in front of him. Dade will take like a couple steps off to his right and take a shot at the wolves in the distance.
Great, and those couple steps, they yeah, you're good. There we go, perfect.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, wait. Sorry.
Okay.
Because the crit threshold of my pistol is 2. If I did my 2 hits against one of the wolves, that would have been a crit. So that might have killed
critical injury.
Right.
Okay, yeah, makes sense. That's fine. He'll still go down, and you can put one in one of the other wolves.
Yeah, to the one on Hannah.
On Hannah. Okay.
Yeah.
Noted. Thank you.
All right. There we go. Well, no modifier.
No modifiers. Do you want to increase your rate of fire, or do you just want to fire a single round?
I'll try. I think I'm gonna fire a single round. I'm gonna take a risk here and just throw rate of fire one, and
You're firing at the one in the back.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, no successes, and you can push it. You had no natural ones.
Yeah, obviously I'm gonna take a swing. Oh, there we go. Wait, no.
No.
There I don't go. There I don't go. It's there don't go. Nothing.
There I don't go. Okay, so you fire three shots. Pop, pop, pop. And all miss. Crazy. But it's actually not that crazy because the wolf is a very, dodgy animal for you to try to hit in an open air like this. Okay. That brings us to... who's next? Hana.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'm going to use fast action, run into another hex, and then I'm going to fire quick shot, no aim, at the one that was attacking me.
Got it. Okay, so, I forgot to give you that minus two modifier, Ross, because you didn't take time to aim.
Oh, well.
We got to remember that, because that's a big deal. Right. But you missed anyway, so it is moot.
Missed anyway.
All right, go ahead, Hana. Give me a minus two modified roll on ranged combat against this wolf.
Okay, here it comes.
And you can choose your rate of fire. Don't forget.
Let's go rate of fire. I really want to kill this thing. It just bit me. She's like, like all of a sudden. So,
yeah.
We'll go three.
Three okay. rate of fire. Okay, let's see what happens.
Oof.
Oh, you got a bullet.
Two
and a success. Oh, yes. Great.
Two successes and an extra hit. So you've got three hits that you can deal out here.
Okay, so
what's the damage on your assault rifle?
The damage on the assault rifle is, I believe it's, sorry.
It's an AKM, damage is two. Right?
PMK, yeah.
PMK.
PMK. Okay.
Damage is two.
Damage is two.
And so if you assign one more hit to that wolf, you kill it.
Yeah,
and then
I'll
you still have
that.
An extra one,
and then I still have an extra one, and I'll put.
Oh no,
it
I'm
in.
Sorry. The two hits kill it. The two. So one bullet kills it.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Nice. And now you've got two more hits that are for one damage each that you can spread to the other wolves, or put two in one wolf.
I'll put two in the one at the eastern southeastern corner of the hex.
You know, I thought that this was like a little dicey. I had no idea.
Yeah.
We're crushing
how,
it.
Like assault rifle versus wolf is
evolutionarily kind of evolved.
You know, I thought about
deal with assault weapons.
I thought about like getting in the backpack, grabbing a ration, throwing the ration. If I had gone before them in the initiative order, I might have tried something like that. But I think it's time. I think Hana, after getting bit, would just open up on them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's at this point, it's survival, you know?
Yeah,
exactly.
And it turns out, apex predator, assault rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, that's
top,
true.
Top of the food chain.
That's right.
The most dangerous beast.
That's right.
Okay. So you've killed another one and done a lot of damage to one in the back, and we come to Zofia. End of the round. Pulled a 10. Drew a 10 card.
Ooh, I think, yeah, it's really... I think this really... this. Shook her because she's kind of a city girl, and for all of the threats to a street kid, wolves are generally not one of them,
right?
But I do think this is the first time that she pulls and draws her new AK-47. She thought about drawing it when they were ambushed at the road, but she didn't, and so this time she draws it. It's a little nerve wracking, but I'm going to take one action to aim. And this guy's dead, right? The one that attacked?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's dead icon. It's just under the other one.
Oh,
yeah,
I see it now. Yeah. So I'm going to aim at this one that I can see best. And then I'm going to shoot. So fast action aim, slow action shoot. Rate of fire, she's kind of nervous and she probably holds down the trigger a little bit, not too much. She's not gonna just like, but probably a little too much. So I'm gonna say rate of fire is two.
2 rate of fire. Okay, so for those that don't know, when we say rate of fire, you roll extra d6s for extra chances at more damage. But in so doing, you expend however many bullets you roll on those d6s. So if you roll 2 5s, for example, you would, and a 6 is all that gets you an extra hit. So if you roll 2 5s, you spent 10 extra bullets on that attack and didn't get any bonus hits. So it's it's risky, but it can be hugely rewarding in a stressful situation. Hit it.
Here it goes.
Hit it.
Oh, no. One success.
Thank goodness.
And a natural one.
But I think it's okay.
That's
right.
A hit.
That I got a natural one.
Yeah, only it prevents you from pushing because you can't.
Yeah.
Right. But since I got a natural one, does that mean that it took reliability damage or that only happens?
No, it's only on a push.
Yeah.
Only on a push. Okay. Great. So I think I hit it.
Yeah, and it should take it down because I already put some bullets in it.
Yep.
Yeah, and my gun does damage too.
Yeah.
So.
Damage two, that's it. Mm-hmm. It's down.
That's it.
Another wolf goes down. Amazing. Only one wolf left. Phenomenal. At that moment, something rather surprising happens. We're at the end of initiative, but seemingly almost like out of initiative order as we start round two and the other wolf is about to go. You see a small form come darting out of the tree line behind the wolf. And all of a sudden, hold on, I have it right here. I'm a little delayed. I'm so busy narrating and not doing my job of tokening. All of a sudden, you see... And this dog comes bursting out from behind and bites at the wolf.
Oh,
attacks
wow.
The wolf. It's sort of like a scraggly looking German Shepherd mixed sort of dog. And it's just, and it attacks the wolf. The two of them start kind of like rolling over each other. And then the wolf starts biting back at the dog. And they are, let's see.
I did not expect that.
I rolled a fail on the dog and a fail on the wolf. Both did not do damage. So they're rolling over on each other right now, sounding like gnashing at each other. What in the hell do you do now? It's Duncan Lime's turn. But why don't you think about it for a second? We're going to take a quick break. There's a freaking German Shepherd in the fight all
of
a sudden.
Good point.
Yeah, for real.
Get him.
We'll take a quick break, and we're going to be back in a second. Hang in there.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Look, there are a lot of celebrity interview podcasts out there, but there's only one Happy, Sad, Confused. I'm Josh Horowitz, and yeah, I'm the host of the show, so I'm a little biased, but truly, Happy, Sad, Confused is the place for nerdy and intimate conversations with all your favorite actors and filmmakers. From Andrew Garfield and Scarlett Johansson to Christopher Nolan, casting what-ifs, backstage stories, and much more. Listen to Happy, Sad, Confused on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Whitney.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the hosts of True Crime Campfire. We set out to make a true crime podcast we'd want to listen to. We get right to the story. We don't do a lot of extra talking, and when we do, it's usually to roast the short hairs off of some loser, murderer, or scammer. You'll laugh, but only at the people who deserve it.
Like, which serial killer would you most like to shove into a locker?
BTK and his awful poetry. Dude got caught because he didn't understand what a floppy disk was.
We look for the stranger-than-fiction stories, like the case of Patty James, a killer catfish before the internet was even a thing.
Or Howard Walmsley, a sentient wad of damp laundry who convinced his town he'd won the lottery, fleeced local businesses out of thousands, and then became a romance scammer.
We've covered tons of cases you've never heard of. Cults, scammers, killers.
So come find your next great binge. Listen to True Crime Campfire on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Friday.
Hi, we're Meg Bashwinner.
And Joseph Fink.
Of Welcome to Night Vale. And on our new show, The Best Worst, we explore the golden age of television.
To do that, we're watching the IMDb viewer-rated best and worst episodes of classic TV shows.
The episode of Star Trek, where Beverly Crusher has sex with a ghost. the episode of The X-Files, where Scully gets attacked by a vicious house cat.
And also the really good episodes, too.
What can we learn from the best and worst of great television? Like, for example, is it really a bad episode, or do people just hate women?
The best worst, available wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. Things have changed slightly. Another animal has entered the fray. Very, very strange. And we have Major Duncan Lyon. We left off on your turn, Skid. Talk to me. What do you do in this situation?
Okay, so Duncan reflects back, like maybe we see a flashback of his time as second in command of the small arms school from 1991 to 1992.
Yes.
As a world-class marksman, particularly with this pistol, the Sig Sauer pistol that he was allowed as part of his deployment history to pick for himself as part of his gear. And I'm going to do a fast aim and a called shot to make sure I don't hit the dog on the wolf's head.
Mm. Awesome. Love it. And we see him take an extra second, slows down. Mm. Oh, and they're nipping at each other.
Yeah. Don't you dare kill that German Shepherd.
Yeah. A lot riding on this, bud.
So this is, okay, so this is a net. I think this is just at my base because, oh no, this is a minus one.
Net
this is a
minus one, right?
Okay. So.
Here we go.
Okay. Six hour.
Slowing down, being one. Very careful with the shot.
Breathes out. Bam. Okay. I'm going to push it.
Push.
Okay.
Nice.
Boom. Okay. Yep. Even cool. With the penalty. Success, and it's a called shot to the dome. Wow. Ah! All of a sudden, bam, this wolf's head, it not explodes, but snaps back in a spray of blood. The wolf rolls over and off the dog. Man. Yeah, very interesting. I'm going to take it out of combat. The wolves are dead, and the German Shepherd is not attacking you. But what ends up happening is, like, in that moment, boom, the wolf comes off, and there's a second where the dog sort of, like, orients itself, and it starts to, like, it looks up at you, and it starts to, like, move away slowly, strangely, in the way that it had so quickly darted in there, and I think you can pretty easily see that there's, like, that it's favoring a paw, like a leg. It's favoring, it's moving, like, a little slow, but it's kind of, like, moving away from you and trying to, like, get into cover, basically, but not quickly. And we're out of combat.
I'm like, this could be someone's pet or a hunting dog, and then I'll kind of suddenly, I think, looking at, how's your arm?
Not good. And I raise it, and there's, you know, a big bloody bite mark on my arm.
Yeah, gash.
All right. Okay, well, we're going to need to take a look at that. Does it look like the dog is just kind of loping back into the forest?
Mm-hmm.
Slowly. I might try to just go out there and be like, give it a little like, hey, and like get its attention, see if we can call it over.
Okay. Yeah, I think, yeah, you whistle and, yeah, you do some of those kind of familiar things. And I think that it stops, its ears perk up, it turns, kind of looks back at you, and it's just like, just
kind
staring
of like get into
you.
A low crouch and kind of move slowly towards it.
Okay. It lets you approach, it looks away from you. Then back at you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be moving further away.
All right. And yeah, I'm kind of going in, being, you know, we can play this out as much as you want, but like really just trying to do the right thing when you see a stray dog you don't know. Like make sure, like, I'm not a threat. Calm, assertive energy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You come up to it. It's just kind of like letting you come. And as you get closer, you see that there is a bloody mark near its left paw leg, its left leg where it meets its body. There's blood and some matted fur from some sort of wound, and it's just kind of like favoring that leg. And it just stands there and kind of looks away as you get closer to it.
Okay.
You can see this wound, and I think that your instinct is not to touch it.
Right.
But the dog is letting you. You can touch the dog, in general.
Okay.
And it's not snapping at you or anything.
I think I take off my backpack, and I might even like cup a hand, give it some water from my water ration in my pack.
Yeah. It drinks.
Okay.
Thirstily. It starts lapping up the water.
Okay.
You looking and you don't see any collar on it.
Yeah, I'm scanning the forest like, is this just a stray
hunter? Yeah, as you look around, you don't see anybody.
All right. Okay. I'll just kind of keep it gentle. And Dade is now like, all right, if there's a way to... A stray dog is always a little dangerous. I just kind of want to maintain that we're not a threat. This dog probably won't be any docile towards us until we feed it something. And I also got to get Hana's arm checked out. I'll deal with the people first. But, if I can coax this dog towards us... Oh, you monster. Now there's really something we care about.
Let's get a dog like you get in like Fallout and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that dog can't die.
Dog meat.
This one probably
can.
Also, my fucking dog is half German Shepherd. So, Joe, I'm coming after you if anything happens to this fucking dog.
I mean, you could just let the dog go. Then you don't have to worry about it.
Right. You can just let it go.
If you want to take the dog along...
We're not letting the dog go.
That dog can die. Okay.
We've established that the dog
is part of the team now.
Yeah.
The dog saved us.
He saved us.
The dog saved our lives.
It's so funny.
Mary Lou
and Zofia are like completely... Well, not completely, but like a very different opinions. But Mary Lou is like... A puppy! Mm-hmm. You gave us a puppy! Thanks, Dad! Yeah, yeah. I'll love him and I'll keep him and I'll take care of him, I swear!
I think having fed it some water and stuff, I might like... I don't want to immediately like, throw a rope around this dog. It's more like, okay...
See if he follows us.
See if he follows. And if it seems like it trusts us enough to like lay down and we can kind of work on it. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But for now, having kind of subdued the dog to a certain extent, I'll go back to the group, see if it kind of follows or kind of keeps observing us from a safe distance.
I think while you were doing that, Zofia was like, Hanya, come here. And she like, helps her roll up her sleeve and maybe she's washed it off with some water from a canteen. I don't have any medical aid, but I think those basics she would have done before you got there, Dade.
Great.
And Hana terrifies you as she begins to transform into a werewolf.
Yeah. It's her.
What is this feeling?
Yeah. Her face bulges and distends into a painted snout.
Yeah, her eyes turn yellow and reflect the light.
Dude, Joe, thanks for the dog and thanks for my new werewolf powers.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Cool.
This is the tonal shifts that have just happened in the last 10 minutes.
I didn't expect this at all.
Really
wild to keep track of.
All right, back to reality. Absolutely.
All right, back to reality.
Thank you for washing out my wound.
Here's how we're going to do treatment.
Uh-huh.
You still have the hit capacity damage, and you're not going to get rid of that until you rest, but you're not going to take any more, and their cleaning of it has stabilized it. You will not be subject to infection because of... Actually, no, I'm sorry. You need to roll that successful medical aid roll. You don't need to use up medical supplies. This isn't that big of a deal. It's just sort of like cleaning and bandaging, and that's okay. Okay.
And I'll roll medical
but
aid.
You need a success here, or Hana could be at risk in a day or so of infection. So, and that's where stamina rolls come in, and those stamina rolls are modified by your permanent rads. So this is something to keep in mind. By the way, I completely forgot to make you guys roll on radiation exposure after the like running into that guy. I felt so bad about it. I was so mad at myself, but it was too late. Hand off the chess piece, but next time I'm going to get you.
Uh-huh. Okay, now... I don't know that this counts as field surgery, where I could bring that specialty to bear.
No. This is just a straight medical aid role.
Straight medical aid. Here we go.
Field surgery, if I'm not mistaken, is against critical injuries.
Right.
Oh, two successes.
Nice.
Two successes. Okay, great. The wound is clean and bandaged. You are not going to be subject to infection. So, great job, Dade.
Nice.
And then I get the hit capacity back after a night of rest, right?
After a night of rest, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like, yeah, it just goes to show that like you can't keep doing this today, right? Like if you got into another fight today, this wound adds into, you know, your limits to when you're incapacitated.
So we can't grind and clear out all the wolves' nests and then get some XP from it.
Yeah, we can't grind on wolves. Yeah. No, I'm wrapping you up just like, the most important thing is just to keep it clean there.
And as you're finishing wrapping up, you hear the unmistakable sounds of more wolves. No, I'm just kidding.
Hell yeah.
To
let's
one
do this.
Super wolf.
Yes. Of a vehicle.
Oh.
You hear a motor and you hear it on the road that you're on coming from Tomashov, where you're headed. Zamosht, where you're headed coming toward you.
Okay, great.
Staying on the road or dispersing into the woods? You have to act very fast right now.
Staying on the road, but keeping weapons drawn.
Yeah, okay. It's like one hand on my gun, one hand up in greeting.
Coming over this rise is a Jeep. It's a Jeep of some kind. Civilian. Looks like a civilian vehicle. Jeep. You see in the passenger side and in the rear, which is open, it's spring, the weather's, you know, pretty nice right now. You see that the Jeep is open. There's a driver, a passenger, and two people in the back, and all of the passengers have automatic or semi-automatic weapons. They're all sort of like pointed up at the sky. This car pulls up and stops a good distance away, 50 meters, 60 meters, something like that, away from you, pulls up and stops. And the armed people get out of the car and point their weapons down the road at you and yell down in Polish, "Drop your weapons." What do you do?
They're yelling in Polish, right?
In Polish. Drop your weapons.
I'll drop my weapon. I will. I'll get it off and I'll drop it to the ground and I'll say, you know, what was it? Solidarno?
Solidarnosht.
Solidarnosht. The gunfire was from wolves. See?
They're a good distance away. Maybe one of them pulls up like a scope and looks through it, and you can see them not pointed at you, but near the road near you. And we can see there's some carcasses, buzzing carcasses. Not buzzing. The flies aren't there quite yet, but the carcasses and... the dog moves away, kind of into the woods a little bit, moves off the road, but you guys are kind of steady, hands up.
You just see Dade's eyes tracking that dog into the brush.
Puppy.
Back to the...
Dade's eyes watching the dog. The driver gets out and has a pistol at his side, starts walking up. The two people in the back start following along behind him. Two women are flanking him, both with assault rifles. They've lowered their guns a little bit, but they're still in two hands, ready, just slightly pointed at the ground. And he's walking up to you. He says, "What are you doing here?" in Polish. And he's still walking toward you. You're not allowed down this road.
Are you resistance?
Now looks around, laughs a little bit. You could say that.
She's going to show her resistance tattoo.
She's got like a bicep tat
up on her up on her shoulder. Yeah.
What is the symbol? Just cuz I want to picture it.
I'm looking online. And I think it's kind of like a the bird that's on the flag of Poland, but with it looks like kind of like an anchor or a hook around it.
Huh. He sees the tattoo on your shoulder. He says, "Oh, is that what it looks like?"
Oh, there's never another knew. One that's like looks kind of like a P, but the bottom of the P has turned into an like an anchor.
That's on my other bicep.
Okay.
And then in the small of my back, it says Polish resistance.
Okay, good.
That's right.
Yeah. In like an airbrush font. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. In an airbrush font.
Yeah.
So she'll go, yeah, okay.
He says, oh, is that what it looks like? I had never seen it myself. Sort of smiling around. What are you looking for in Zamosk?
We want to help. We have intel about Soviet placements.
We don't need any help. We've got it taken care of. What? What did you say? Soviet placements?
Yeah.
Be careful.
Where are you getting this intelligence?
From the Soviets we killed.
He looks back at the two women, mutters under his breath in Polish, and you can hear it. It says, keep your guns on them. And he slowly walks up to you. He says, what intelligence?
Why don't you give us a ride into the city and we'll tell you all about it?
I need to see what you have first. I'm not bringing you to Constantine unless I know you have good information.
I'm going to look at my companions.
Tell them.
Who are they? He looks displeased at your companions, particularly Dade and Lime. Why do you travel with them soldiers?
NATO. They're NATO.
Why do you travel with them? They're not Polish.
We're taking the fight to the Soviets. Making them pay for what they've done. This right. one's British. This one is a medic. Anybody sick or hurt?
He looks back. Two women look at each other. He says, yes, we've got some injured. Okay, medic. Intelligence. All right. Come with me. We walk. But first, and he turns around and he calls to the guy who stood by the car, and he orders them in Polish to get the carcasses of the wolves and load them in the jeep and drive them back.
That's me.
And he's going to walk, with you. We cut to an image of you guys like walking into town, and Skid, why don't you give us a little a brief history lesson here if you'd like.
Oh, yes.
Zamość is, according to Lonely Planet 1996, which I had this all bookmarked and read up on. I was very excited about. And you could have not even gone in here, which is fine. But it is apparently quite a beautiful place with very interesting history.
It is. I'll read.
Yeah, be selective. But okay. Yeah, pick some
I'll
good
just
stuff.
Read the first like couple paragraphs.
Yeah, yeah.
It is, they say, the Lonely Planet says, calls it Pearl of the Renaissance, Padua of the North, Town of Arcades. That's how local tourist brochures refer to Zamość. The names are pretty much justified, for this is not an average town. Designed in its entirety 4 centuries ago, the town was built in one go in the middle of the Lublin upland, and there it stands today, relatively unchanged. The brain behind the plan, Ion Zamoyski, lived from 1542 to 1605, the chancellor and grand hetman of the crown, intended to create a perfect city, which would at the same time be a great cultural and trading center and impregnable fortress. And he studied in Italy. They were trying to distance themselves from the art style of the Soviets, like deliberately, or not the Russians at the time. And so they were emulating more like Southern European styles.
A perfect city.
Yeah, the whole town was like built in one sort of planned setting. It's like, it's got the star fortress type, old wall. They got this really cool, like, old city, like in the middle. It sounds awesome. It sounds like a really cool place.
So as you guys walk in there, what I think you see, and I could be wrong about this, but this is an alternate timeline. We can say whatever we want. I think what you guys see is partially constructed walls that date back to the Renaissance. Mm. Also missing walls in places where there were walls, but there's like mounds there. You also see, and this is from my reading of the history here in this tourist guide, you also see a lot of Renaissance structures, arcades and stuff that were rebuilt. A lot of these things were destroyed in wars over the years, especially during Russian occupations and stuff like that. A lot of things were destroyed, but they made a big effort, I think, starting in the 60s and 70s to like rebuild a lot of stuff in the Renaissance style. So a lot of it is still there. So it almost looks like, you know, peeking into Southern Europe, basically, as you walk in to this place. Very, so very cool. Interesting. And you talk about the old town, and there's a beautiful square there.
Yeah.
With this big town hall, and all out, and it's all kind of empty and open out there. And you kind of see that in the distance from the building you're brought into and the upper floor, where you walk in and you meet a man named Constantine.
Uh-oh.
This is a heavy-set, gray-bearded man who is, despite the warmish weather, wearing heavy clothes. Yeah, there you go. So it's a walled, sort of a walled city. This mm-hmm. This is the modern map from the 90s from it. And that, I'm pointing to it, like that's going to mean anything. Skip, can you put it up there one more time?
Yeah.
Is it that building on the left? One more time.
And right dead in the center, you see there's a building with like a little Y coming off of it.
Yeah,
that's the town hall.
That's the town hall. Okay. And out in front of that is a big, beautiful square. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the largest in Europe or something.
Wow, it is square. Huge. It's gorgeous. It looks like a piazza. Yeah, I can. It mm-hmm. it really does
like
resemble
big old piazza, right?
An Italian
piazza. But it's deserted. It is empty. And you're in a building that's kind of overlooking this from a distance, and you meet this man. He introduces himself. I hear you've got intelligence for me.
Yeah.
Looking at Hannah.
Yeah.
Soviet positions.
That's right.
Where did you get this? Exactly.
Tomaszewski Lubelski. There were Soviets there. We had a firefight. We won. They left this behind.
Excellent. Good work. Good work. We have our hands tied here. I'm afraid we're not going anywhere anytime soon, but I would be interested to know where they are, where they may come from. We've blocked off most roads to the town. Any attempt to bring any large vehicles in here, I don't think will work. They're not getting their men out anytime soon. And he looks, his eyes cast over toward the town hall. And then he comes back to you, and he says, this town is known for its Renaissance architecture. And we are, this very day, it seems, the hosts of a Renaissance-style siege. They are trapped in there.
Is he speaking...
in the town hall.
Is he speaking Russian? Sorry,
no,
Polish?
No, he's speaking Polish. Yeah.
Can I be acting as translator for... Dade and Lime, so that
of course
Hannah can be focusing on the conversation.
Yeah. He says, we are in the midst of a siege of our own. They are in there. We don't know how many. A dozen? Maybe less. But we fought them back till they were locked in the hall. They've got Oh, man, I wanted to get this right on the first try. I'm sorry, guys. They got... I want to get my weapons right, right? Mm-hmm. He says...
Oh, yeah.
They have two NSVs. And so we have not been able to penetrate the outer defenses. But they are not able to leave either. And as he says this, you look out, and the square and the town hall are completely silent, completely still. But now that you know this, you look with a little bit more, like, focus, and you can see, especially you, Lime, I think, as you scan the situation, you see the buildings that are out across from the town hall have got snipers posted on the roofs of the buildings, and they're all overlooking this town hall. And... yeah, I guess we could role play it out, or we could sort of like move things a little bit forward. And the way that I think I'm just going to move things a little bit forward here rather than playing it all out and just explain to you the situation, get a sense as players and characters what you would want to do. Mm-hmm. So basically, these locals rose up against the Soviets that were stationed in this place, and it was acting as a supply route, he tells you, between Lublin and Tomaszew Lubelski, mm-hmm. right? They were moving people back and forth. And also, he said he saw jeeps that were going toward Bilgoraj as well, okay? So this is kind of an in-between point. And the citizens rose up against them. They fought them back until they were in the town hall, and now they can't get any closer because they've taken out multiple of their guys, including a few really terribly wounded guys, Dade, that were hit with these heavy machine gun rounds, are still alive, but might lose a limb, you know, really in bad shape kind of stuff. And they can ask for your help with that. But ultimately, they are in a siege right now. So you guys kind of have a decision to make to trade, give them this information, some more stuff, and move on, or try to take the town hall. But it you know, it's an extremely dangerous premise because they have got, so I said, NSVs. And I'll talk to you in stats because you're military characters, like, you know this stuff. This is a heavy machine gun that would be mounted on a tripod. It has a rate of fire of 6 and does 4 damage on a single hit and a critical on a 4 damage. So if it hits once, it critically wounds you. And that's why the local resistance doesn't have weaponry like this. Mm-hmm. So they have basically been held from advancing any further, but they're going to starve them out, is sort of the idea. It's a siege. So I'm just laying that all out so we can cut to the chase here and kind of decide what you guys would like to do story-wise. And if we want to have imagine a scene where now it's evening and you're talking about it in a room that they've given you in this building, and it's just you guys, we can do that. If that sounds interesting to you, mm-hmm. talk about what your next move is. But you could definitely stay here for the night, and you feel great. Safe.
I think Hanna would say, "Let's give them these Soviet positions. Let's find out if they know anything about Bilgoraj." And I don't think it's our responsibility to finish this siege for them. It seems like they have it under control.
Yeah, I would, honestly, it sounds super fun to do this, but I think character-wise, motivationally, I don't think it makes any sense to do it. I mean, we have something a little more pressing. I Lime does, for sure. So
it's tough because my motivation would be like, destroy Soviets and free Poland, which would make me want to do this sort of side mission, but at the same time, I know that there are Polish prisoners in Bilgoraj, you know, and that was kind of where we were headed. Mm-hmm. So I think I can talk, I think I could talk Hanna, maybe you guys even talk her into, like, look, we're not going to do this siege. You know?
Yeah, I think what Zofia would say is they have this on lock, right? If it's a siege, they have absolutely no way of getting food. So except for some desperate last minute breakout mission, we are going to win. We are going. Yeah. These guys must die without food and water in a siege. And unless, I don't know, somebody wanted to use their sniper rifle and take out a couple, you know, unlucky heads that stick out, I don't think there's anything that we can do.
Yeah, Dade is with you. I've got this. The locals have this well in hand. I don't know what more we can do here, aside from help a little bit. And I might look, Zofia. I've been saying Zofia.
That is close enough, but my name is Zofia.
Zofia. All right. Well.
Zofia.
All right. Zofia.
Say it very fast.
Zofia.
Zofia.
That was Whoa. Better.
That was it.
Zofia.
J-F. J-F, yeah.
J-F.
Look, if you can...
so good.
That'll work. If you can kind of help me translate like you done back with Constantine there, I might be able to... I don't know if I'm going to be able to help out these... anybody that's been hit by them, but if I can take a look, I should take a look.
Tak. Will you help with this... Tak.
All right.
And if they have any guns or a radio, I can fix. And then all I right. think we should go.
All right. Hey, all right. We got things to barter. We got things to trade. And that's what it'll do.
Okay. Sounds great. How about you just give me a medical aid roll to represent this aid that you're going to offer? They do have some partially medically trained people here.
Okay.
You can also see that in one case, somebody has made some mistakes sanitized tools and stuff like that. Offering some like, I wouldn't do that exactly.
This guy's going septic. I imagine a situation where like a guy who's been, or someone who's been shot in an extremity, I can see that they've done a field dressing that is already like badly infected. And I'm like, and maybe turning to Zofia and like, bad news is, I mean, the only way to save this, that arm's gotta go. Gotta go.
Tak, I will tell them.
Right. She says in Polish, like, yeah, we gotta cut that off.
I'll make that medical aid roll. Let's see what.
All right. Well, here's what I want to do. Oh,
sorry.
Amazing.
Oh, wow.
Three successes.
The best roll I've ever had.
Spectacular. All right. So here's what I was going to do just in order to keep it moving, but also kind of tell a story. Let's say that there's three critically wounded patients. Let's say that you get a +1 modifier to this roll because of your field surgeon specialty, because these are critically wounded people. And give me three rolls and you cannot push, because we're just going to tell story here in general.
Okay.
If that's one person saved of the three.
Okay, yeah.
Let's see if you can get three straight successes and save all three, or if somebody dies here.
Three successes.
And remember
to
give yourself that +1 modifier.
Shoot.
Did you give yourself the +1, though?
I did not.
So re-roll that. That's fine. Re-roll with the +1 modifier. For the field surgeon.
Thank you.
Another success.
One more success. All right.
You've saved two patients, Dade. Okay, and then...
Right.
The last one, this one is pretty bad. This one was a head injury. Hit with a helmet, but still a head injury. And another success.
Another success.
Great.
The patient never gains consciousness while you're working with them, but you feel like you've done enough to save their life. And they're in a coma right now, but they should wake up as long as they're getting water and stuff like that, you know, and being taken care of. And you pass your information on. These people are... I mean, they make a big turn. Like when you first walk in the room, like they do not trust you. These people have not seen any NATO yet, right? Mm-hmm. In the war. And they are not necessarily thinking that Americans are really there to help them. And they just don't trust the foreigners in this situation, right? But yeah. In this case, you make a really big, really great impression on them. And they turn around big time. In order to, so you don't use any medical supplies. They are able to provide the medical supplies for all this stuff, and they will trade with you guys. Sure. So, is there anything that you want?
Weapon parts.
Anything on top of mind?
Weapon top parts of mind for Hana is, I would love to know if they know anything about Bilgarai, Lublin, the cities where the placements are, okay. But mainly Bilgarai.
Okay, so first an exchange Bilgarai. Of intelligence. First, an exchange of intelligence. They don't know much about Lublin besides the fact that large parts of the city were damaged in the taking of it, but that now the army is occupying that city and is at very low capacity to do so. The citizens do not have the means to really rise up against them. The army's just a little bit too large for that. However, there is little pockets of insurgency that are happening within Lublin right now. Mm-hmm. Part of the process and part of what the Soviets are trying to do is they're trying to run a little bit of a hearts and minds campaign. And part of that campaign is one person that you talk to believes that it is not genuine and is the machinations of the KGB, and that the KGB are operating in Lublin and sort of running the army there right now, which is kind of weird.
Hana wants to go to Lublin.
Mm-hmm. And then as far as, and then Bilgarai, they say, is a labor camp that is in the forests outside of Bilgarai, really, is what it is. And they are getting people to do logging and lumber cutting, which then they are moving to Lublin. So they're providing Lublin with lumber for rebuilding parts of the destroyed city. And they don't have, they have reports of forced work, but they don't have reports of exactly the details of what's going on there.
Okay.
So that's intel.
Got it.
Also, you could get stuff. Is there anything that you want trade-wise, like that you want
trade-wise
that you want to trade for? Weapon parts. Okay.
And a backpack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Backpack, please.
Okay. All right. I will say backpacks for each of you and one weapon part you can get for the medical aid that Dade gave.
Nice.
I've never played a game where I got a backpack and I was like, hell yeah.
Score. Well, major then
we're doing
score.
Something right.
Just based on how little ammunition I have for my gun, part of me is like, could I get a couple more mags on this thing?
Yes. Yeah. Now, for that, that's a great idea. But now let's talk trade. Mm-hmm. So, like, you got to kind of one for one me. You got to give something up to right. get a magazine for your weapon.
All right. Yeah.
Can I do any repair? Any gun repair? Any radio repair? Any technical? Do they have
so
anything?
Labor for?
Yeah.
Do you guys want to stay another day?
Oh, no.
Because that takes a shift of work.
Nope.
Repairing takes a shift of work.
Nope.
I actually would like to stay another shift.
Okay, then yes.
The thing that I want is here.
Ooh.
Okay. All right, so talk to me about... Oh, you know, the other thing that I just realized, Dade, is to get into the nitty-gritty, they probably don't have any 5.56
ammo for
here,
my type
right?
of weapon, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Very interesting. Maybe you just take a different gun.
Yeah.
Maybe you start using one of their guns. You trade the M4 for one of their guns or something, you know, if you want.
I know.
It's interesting.
It is. And I think that's on his mind because he feels so separated from... he hasn't seen an American in weeks.
Yeah.
He's got like 1.5 mags of ammunition left. When is the next time he's going to come across an M4 or anyone who's got ammunition for it? He's like, it might be time to trade this in for an AK.
Very interesting. All right, think about that for a second. Right. Skid, what are you thinking? What are you cooking up over there?
I ask our Polish-speaking companions. I said, could you ask our new friends if there are any of their people speak fluent Russian?
Yeah.
I think that's reasonable that there's somebody here that speaks fluent Russian. Yeah.
If so, then I would love to shore up my gaps in my Russian knowledge and learn a new specialty over the course of a shift.
Interesting. Can you do that in a shift?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think I want to say I'm going to rule that you got to stay another day to make that happen.
Yeah.
So you're staying the night. Then another day, another night, then you can kind of be on your way. And you can do that, yes. Spend a day with an expert.
Well, then,
fill
yeah.
some gaps.
If he's staying, then I'll spend a shift repairing.
Yeah.
Anything.
And I might offer my services just as labor, if that helps.
Okay, great. So then, backpack, weapon parts. Do you want a new assault rifle?
Yeah.
Or do you want to hold on to the M4?
I mean, M4 has been... I just missed a whole bunch of times earlier today. But, maybe I will. Maybe I'll swap it. I think, part of Dade's journey here is like... It's like, Solidarnosht. Yeah, what are these fucking borders anyway? And I haven't seen an American in a long time. Yeah, I might trade. See if I can swap it for one for whom ammunition is going to be more plentiful as we scrounge around.
It makes sense because we're behind the battle lines.
Exactly. Yeah.
NATO has really never been back here. So, it's going to be pretty hard to find.
So, let's swap out the M4 for a more local.
Interesting. So, we see this scene of you trading with just another civilian
mm-hmm.
who has a weapon they've taken off of a Soviet.
So
they hand you an AK. You hand them an M4. You guys maybe smiling, shaking hands.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so excited to have like this really accurate, awesome weapon.
Mm-hmm.
But, knowing there's not much ammo for it, but they'll try to figure it out. What about, we can move forward and then we can look back at this and, we can always fill things in later if you want before next episode. You can say, I did that then, whatever. But in the meantime, two nights later, you guys are going to move on,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Okay. Nothing happened with the siege. Not a single shot fired the whole time you were there. They're just monitoring that town hall and nobody's poking a head out. So it's a standoff right now. You're thanked by Constantine for all of your help. You've got some new stuff to work with. And in fact, we can barter off air about a couple more things you might have. And they give you a ride back out toward the barricade. Give you a ride out, drop you off, and you can load into the pickup truck, in your hidden spot. And as you're loading in there, Dade, you hear
and I was like, and I think the whole time Dade's eyes were on the forest. And like even in the intervening night, he like walked out into the cold and just was nothing.
Yeah, and there was nothing in the middle of town. And as you get back out of town again, as you're getting in into the truck, into the back of the flatbed, you see coming out of the woods, limping out, a German Shepherd, and it stops, looks at you, and we'll pick it up there next time.
It's your responsibility now.
You have to feed him.
I'll take care of it, I promise.
It's a big responsibility.
I promise I'll take care of it.
I promise, I swear. Fatboy doesn't like dogs, but that's okay.
He's got his owl ears on.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London,
and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Ox Venture, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.